It sure is good to see each of you this morning. It's good to see that sunshine coming through. It's been a little dark and rainy, but Brother Curtis, to see the sun shining through the back, that's a good sign. I appreciate that. You know, the Lord sure is good to us, isn't he? I've been thinking a lot on a lot of different things the last couple of weeks, I guess. And I'll be honest with you, I've been working on this message probably for the last month in between missionaries, and started out going to preach it last Sunday, and Lord said, no, do this Sunday, and it's kind of like that sometimes. But, one thing, and I'm not preaching on necessarily the topic of help, but I was just talking to Brandy this morning, and just different things come to mind in our church, in our county, in our personal lives, just how much help we need from the Lord. We can't do anything without him. We might think we can, but we really need his help. We need his aid, and I don't think the Lord really puts more on us than we can handle, but I think sometimes he reminds us of how much we truly need him. And he's always near. He doesn't run from us. He doesn't hide from us, even though there's times that he might feel like he's far away. He's not. We're the ones that tend to stray away. We're the ones that tend to be distant with him until we get in trouble and we need help. And then that's when we start trying to, Lord willing, hopefully call upon him. But if you will, let's turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1 this morning. And while you're turning there, I do have one announcement. Brother Tim Kirby called me last night, and they are planning to have a one-day Bible school at Poplar Grove. And it's from 9 to 2 o'clock on August 5th. And the church is invited. There's a cookout to be afterwards. But he would love the young people to come, and if the adults would like to come also, my understanding afterwards for the cookout, that'd be fine as well. But he wanted me to make sure that I invited you all out. So I told him I would do so. But you know, I was studying this message back in June, I guess it was now, thinking about it. You know, June is, and this isn't necessarily about homosexuality and all that, but I know it's a big topic. I know it's a big thing that we're facing once upon a time, more so with older people. We're seeing it more so now with our younger people. But I want to say also that sin is sin. In the context of what we're seeing here, this will also talk about that or touch on that. But I also want to just let you know that sin is sin. And sin absolutely is a separator. But looking here at Romans chapter number 1, verses 18 through 23, talks about the topic of willful ignorance. Willful ignorance. And I kind of want to preach on that. You might not say it's a shouting message or anything like that, but I believe it will help us, as I was trying to indicate at the beginning of the message. A lot of times what I see, and in recent days, we get frustrated with the problems that we're facing. We feel outnumbered. We feel discouraged. I've talked to a lot of preachers and a lot of other Christians who feel discouraged because it's seemingly outnumbered. Outnumbered by the sinful acts that we've seen going on in our nation, and seemingly the willingness to say what is wrong is right or it's okay, it gets frustrating. And if we're not careful, our young people are going to think the same thing. Well, it's okay. Mom and dad are no longer fighting it. Mom and dad are no longer standing against it. Mom and dad are no longer saying anything about it. I remember times that I've had people say, they knew that they were living in sin, not living right, but they would say, well, you know, down at the church, they're not complaining about it, so they must be okay about it. They must be okay with it. I've had people come along that way and say they think just because people aren't confronting them face to face constantly with their sin, that all of a sudden people are okay with it, and that's not the case. You know, but there is such a thing as willful ignorance. The fact that you kind of get to a place, or you could get to the place that you try to distort what the truth really is, or you don't stand on it as hard as you're supposed to. I started again studying this in June, which they call is Pride Month, and that really bothers me. Not in the fact that I think I'm anything or anything like that, but it's God's law, it's God's rule that says it's wrong, not me. Just like in Sunday school, Brother Raymond, he's saying, you know, they have not denied you, they have not turned on you, but they've denied me. So that's the problem. It's not Jason's law or Jason's book or anything like that. I've adopted it as mine, but it's God's word. It's what he says. But I think about willful ignorance. And I was looking at this even last week, and I started as like, Lord, I don't know if that's really going to help us or not. And plus, it's July. It's not even Pride Month anymore. I'll just let it go. I'll let it go. I'm not trying to stir a stink or anything like that. But you know, the thing about it is, if you're not willing to preach on this sin, then you'll be willing not to preach on this sin or this sin. And then nobody will get any help. Sin is what is really hurting us today. Sin is what's holding us back today. You think about how Satan works and what he does. If he could convince people that there's no problem, then there's no need of repentance. Brother Tim, if we're not sinning, we don't need to ask for forgiveness. My goodness, I sin every single day. I fall short every single day, and it's those things, if we're not careful, that's what drives us away. That's what becomes willful ignorance. That's when you start trying to focus on messages maybe that are lighthearted or more of a story or more jovial or more funny. But you know what? That is not going to help you, and it's not going to help me. God is holding me accountable. He's holding you accountable. So the movement to try to remove any accountability is what we're seeing today. But God's law, His rule, His book holds you and I accountable. So when you see the dangers of this, if we need help in this day and time, we really need it. Moms and dads, husbands and wives, grandparents, we need help from the Lord today. And we can't act willfully ignorant to that fact. His rule is still His rule. Our kids need to see it more in mom and dad today than they ever have. All the influences and everything that's being pumped into their minds and all of that, I tell you, they need to see more of what mom and dad has to offer them through the church, through the Word of God. They're going to see what we do way more than what we say and how we act and how we respond. But I'll start this morning here with verse number 18. The Lord is very plain. God is very plain in His Word. He's very direct about how He feels about sin. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the I'm kind of getting caught up in the lights here. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Let's pray. Father, I come to You this morning, Lord, just asking for Your help. Lord, presence of mind, presence of thought, speech, Lord, I just pray that Your Spirit move upon us, God. I just thank You so much for the singing that we've had this morning. Very uplifting, encouraging, God. It's always good to just focus on and think on Your goodness and how You take care of us and how You've made a way, God. But are we willing to give it to You? Are we willing to trust You? God, I pray that You be with us here this morning, be with our families, all the beautiful young people that are here. God, I just thank You so much for them. Lord, any visitors, God, we just pray that You make them welcome this morning. We're thankful that they're here. God, I pray that You help our church. Help us to grow in Your Word. Help us, Lord, not to be ignorant of things or overlook things, God, but help us, Lord, to focus on the path that You'd have for us to go, the way that You'd have for us to stand, God, and always be willing to stand. Help us, God. Lord, anybody here that's lost this morning, God, I pray that You help them see their need of salvation. Lord, anyone here that's backslidden, God, maybe teetering one way or the other, maybe considering giving up, God, I just pray that You touch them and help them, God. Help them to see. Help them to see what You have to offer this morning, God. You're just so gracious and so good to us, Lord. Just want to uplift Your name here this morning. God, ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When you go back and you look and you see what he's talking about here, Paul is talking about the gospel. We see in verse 16, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is righteousness, the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He's talking how we shall live and how we shall be. One of the things that was brought out so good in Sunday school and so clear is how we are so used to staring at the problem and seeing the problem. David was looking at Goliath, and you go back and all that Samson faced and all that Moses faced up against the Red Sea, the problems that they faced was always what they were looking at physically. You know, we talk about it so often. Brother Allen, I know it's mentioned, pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. And we see that and we think about that probably about every day. But you know what I do sometimes at my own fault when I think about our nation, I see how far gone that we are. And I say, there's no hope. You know, if you pray within the back of your mind that you feel like there's no hope, is God really hearing that prayer? Or is he saying, do you want me to help you? Or are you just telling me there's no hope? You look at our president, you see how things are there. Do you really pray for him thinking that God can change his heart? Or do you think there's no hope? There's no hope. See, a lot of times we look at what we see as the problem, we look at the issue, but I tell you what, he's just a man just like I am. He's a man just like you are. You think God can change your heart? Has God done anything in your life? Well, they say he puts his pants on just like you and I do. A lot of times what we do is we look at the problem that we have in front of us, but we don't see the God who has the answer on the other side of that. We don't hold him in the high esteem that he deserves. I'm guilty of that. I see what's in front of me logically, and I see that a lot worse than thinking what God can do for me. We get trapped in that, and we need to understand how powerful God is. We see here in verse number 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Wrath, that's violent anger. It's revealed from heaven. You know, God has always hated sin. He's not okay with sin today. I think I touched on this a little bit Wednesday night, but God is just as much against sin today as he was, as he ever has been. Even under the time of the law, he's more against it, just as against it today as he was then. As time goes on, you can see it the way I see it. This is from Jason's perspective. You might see it the same way. I don't know. But it's almost as we go forward, we get shocked with worse and worse abominations. And it's like what was sin way back then is nothing now. It's okay now. And the sin that we see today, oh, it's just gotten worse. Well, it's waxing worse and worse, but it's still sin. It's still wrong. I'll tell you this morning, if God's not okay with it, you and I should not be okay with it. Does that make sense? You know what people say? This is a statement of willful ignorance. People say, they can do what they want to. It ain't hurting me. That's wrong. Did you know the Bible says that people do not sin unto themselves? Sin affects other people. My sin affects you. Your sin affects me. How so, preacher? You know, if I go out and live a sinful life and a non-burdened life, how can I come in and preach in the morning? You know what I will start doing? Giving you watered-down messages. You know what you'll start doing? Thinking that that's the new expectation. And then the church just does this. And then where did it start? The preacher wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. Then the church isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing. You see how that decline goes down? That's what willful ignorance does. It says it doesn't affect me. It doesn't bother me. Ask Sodom and Gomorrah if willful sin had any effect on those two cities, if you could find them today. I don't think you can find them. It has sin. We don't sin unto ourselves. It has a price. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness or ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You know what that means? You hold the truth. You can say, I know what the truth says, but how can I make it palatable to the people? So they don't get upset with me. So they don't get upset with the messenger. So they don't get up with the preacher. So they don't get upset with the message that God has given. If you stand for this, you're going to rub people the wrong way. I'll go ahead and get that out of the way for you right there. If you stand on this in the workplace and other places, you're going to make people mad. I'd rather have man mad at me than God mad at me. I'll just go ahead and say that. It takes faith, because I'm looking past what I see here in this future, in this life, and looking on into the life of the next. I'd rather face God as a faithful servant with no regrets. There's plenty of regrets. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but wouldn't you want to face Him open-heartedly? So, Lord, I tried. I tried to do what You would have me to do, wanted to do. But there's people, there's men who hold the truth and unrighteousness, who try to explain away sin and say, it's okay. It's okay. What was it? A saying that I saw, something like that. Be careful. You might be careful not to hate someone you love. That was a big thing that was said last month. You know, it ain't about hate. It's not about vengeance. Vengeance is not mine. We were talking about that Wednesday night. Vengeance has nothing to do with you and me. Vengeance is the Lord's. That's His. What you see, what you're seeing take place is a direct attack from Satan on creation. God created it to be a certain way. And you see how Satan is trying to tear it down. He's trying to tear it away and trying to affect it with our young people, with our children. I've said this before. Satan is no match for God. Would you not agree? So if you see the two go head to head, I promise you God's going to win. And you'll get to see that later on. There's a battle that's going to take place, and he gets cast into the lake of fire. But how he affects us and hurts God today is through you and I, his children. Mom and dad, grandparents, I want to tell you the same thing is going on with you and I today. Satan is attacking our children, and we need to be concerned. We don't have any place for willful ignorance or any kind of tiptoeing around it. Our young people need to know from mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, this is wrong and it's not right. They need to see that, because you'll see the degrees, the way that it comes down. It says here in verse number 19, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. God has made it plain unto you and I. You say, well, what about everybody? Does everybody in the world know? Just stop right there and thank God that you know the truth. And then tell somebody. You look at John 1:9. It says there that he is lighteth every man. Jesus is the one that's lighteth every man. There's a desire for us to learn and know more things. You can. I remember as a young person, I wasn't really much into science or things like that. But let me tell you this. God owns science. Science belongs to Him. Man tries to figure it out, and they mess it up a lot of times, like many other things. But God knows all the science behind His creation. It's nothing in question to Him. But He created it to be a certain way. And throughout that creation, He's allowed us to see things and question things, and He shows us Himself in His creation. So how does that work? I'll show you here in just a minute. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. If you want to know more about God, He is not going to hide Himself from you. He is not a mystery. And having God's word, and what I mean by that, do we know everything about Him? No. That's what makes Him God. How much of creation, how much of the things that are created does the creation know fully about the Creator? He's the Creator. He knows all things. He sees things that you and I can't see. But all the things that you and I are supposed to know about Him, He said, I will let you know that. And you have the right to know that. You have the ability to know that. My goodness, how good it would be just to fall in love with learning more about God. All the things that take our mind and our time away, but just fall back in love with God. All the things. God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. You look at verse number 20, it says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. All this in question about creation, how things came to be. You know, that's a big topic, I think, maybe in schools or universities who try to use science to maybe pervert what God's Word says. If you take, I'll say it like this. I remember learning things in school. And I would hear something contrary to what I heard in church. And I'm talking as an elementary school kid, as a young kid. Now I'd hear things that were contrary. And I remember saying, God, what do I do with this? My teacher is saying it's like this.
Science says it's like this. PhDs are saying it's like this. But God's Word and Preacher Carl is saying it's like this. What do I do? What do I do with that? You know what's special about God's Word? The Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in and says, you just stay right here with this. You stick with this. I'll show you things. You'll be okay. If you stay with me, God is saying, you stay with me, you'll be okay.
There's a lot of things in life that does not matter, but staying with God matters. And he's saying here, it's clearly seen, for the invisible things of him, no man has seen God at any time. But what he has done is allows us to see him through creation. I love getting out and seeing the beautiful landscapes and the things that he has made. I love nothing more, Brother Garrett, than when I'm flying, we've got these mountaintops and seeing these things. I see the top of these ridges. You know what I think? I don't think about science. When I look at that, I say, you know what? God created that. You know how he created that? Because that was underwater at one point in time, and you can see the paths that water rescended as God let the water dry up with the wind after the flood. That's that simple. That's godly science. It's simple. He did it. He created it. He allowed it to happen. It's clearly seen in my mind, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. People can't explain it away. I've said this many times, but you have to understand this. When you meet God, you have to do something with him. When you meet Jesus, you have to do something with him. You have to trust him, accept him, or deny him. There's no in between. There's no willful ignorance that's going to be accepted. You think about his Godhead. I like what it says here in verse number 20. The invisible things of the world were before creation. They were clearly seen. And we see it today through his creation, his eternal power. And I think about God. I think about how he is made up. I see his law, his truth, and his expectation. I see the law that God gave to Moses and how he wanted things to be set up under that dispensation, the dispensation of the law. He said, this is what's expected. God gave that down to him. God the Father gave that to Moses. And you see his truth. Who's his truth? Jesus Christ himself, when he walked on the face of this earth. I am the truth, the way, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, we have no excuse. You see how God gave his law. We see his expectation. We see his truth. Jesus came and he lived that truth. You know how much you and I can learn and grow from just the gospel itself? The gospel truly has everything you and I need this morning. Everything. It leaves nothing out. I think about other topics that you can study in the Bible and other things, but I see so much that is encompassed in just what the gospel offers. You see the relationship of a father and a son. You see the assurity that you have from the Holy Spirit through the Son. You see how all this comes together. You don't get that from worldly education. You don't get that from worldly knowledge. There's things that you can grow and take with it, but what I want you to see this morning, education is being attacked. The creation is being attacked. Education is being attacked. It's being perverted. And where are we pumping our kids constantly? I'm guilty. I sent mine to college, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with a good education, but where are we pumping our kids? See, people want to jump. I'm just going to be honest this morning. I'm just going to be honest. I've seen things from a lot of different perspectives. We jump on the local school system a whole lot and say those teachers are teaching this and teaching that. You know who a lot of those teachers are? People sitting in churches just like this. How does that make you feel? How many of you got teachers in your family? Good Christian teachers. I don't think they're pumping that to our kids. I don't think they are. Kids don't need it pumped in through the school system. They're pumping it in through YouTube and Facebook. If you really want to hold back what your kids are taking in, take their internet away from them. Do that. But you won't do it. You know why? Because we want it more than they do. But you take it from that. You go from your local school system. And where do we put them? We put them in universities. And that's where we tell them, open your minds. Open your minds. Open your minds. But how often is God's Word opened up in these places? Boy, I tell you, I appreciate what Brother Tim's doing on our school setting.
You talk about a mission field. All these young people coming in. It's perverted. I've seen it. I've seen what how it works and what happens. I used to work in the ID center. I see these little sweet freshmen come in, and then I'd see them as seniors, and you couldn't hardly recognize them. So, boy, you're talking bad about your employer. I'm just saying. We got to take care of our kids. We got to watch after our young people. I see what's happening. It's not even about the course of study. It's about all this other philosophy that's coming nowhere but from the devil. I'm just being honest with you. It's less about the course of study and more about changing people's minds on how to feel socially. So as you see the attack, that's where the attack is coming from. But the Godhead, so they are without any excuse. Do you see the importance of the gospel, the importance of repentance? Trying to make sin okay. If sin is okay, guess what? Nobody needs to repent. If people aren't repenting, people aren't getting saved. They need to hear the truth. The gospel causes people to repent. They see the goodness of Jesus Christ, His willingness to die for our sin, to be that once and for all sacrifice. That's what changes things. That's why the gospel is so important. Without the gospel, we have nothing. We look here at verse number, let's go to Acts 17 for just a second. Acts 17, 26 through 31. It says, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bonds of their habitation." God has an appointed time. He's appointed these times on His calendar, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. He is right there. If you want to know more about the Lord, He's saying, please, I am right there. If you just come and feel after me, people have lost the desire to do that. They want to chase after other things, and then maybe when life gets bad, maybe reach out for them just to get them back on the right track and then get out of the way again. But He is there for every one of us. If in Him we live and move, for in Him we move. We live and move and have our being. As certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also of His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by man whom He hath ordained, whereof He might given assurance unto all men that He hath raised Him from the dead. You see, it brings us right back to the gospel. That's His assurance, the requirement to repent. Verse number 21, look at this very closely. This pertains to every single one of us here. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see some steps that take place here. Now, we could fall in any one of these places. I was really studying this again. I've had time to study it, and it's been on my heart for some time. But it says here, because when they knew God, you're not talking about people that do not know Him. You're talking about people who have been exposed to God and know who He is. Do you know the Lord this morning? Has God shown Himself to you? Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Do you glorify Him as God? Brother James, I thought about this a whole lot, about myself. I mean, this is a warning that you're seeing in this verse here. These are warnings that's given out. This is what happened, these degrees. And it gets worse as you get on to the next set of verses. But they glorified Him not as God. They did not esteem Him as high as He is worthy to be esteemed. Do you always esteem Him that high? You think about Him that often during the week or during the day? You know, that's the first step. If you really want to start backsliding, do not esteem God where He needs to be esteemed. You say, well, I try to. I try to pray, I try to thank him, we say things like that, but our actions will override what we say 100% of the time. How do you esteem Him as high
as he should be esteemed. You go back and you think about the gospel, what he did for you and I. How he died on that cross so you and I would have a way of salvation. How could we ever get past that? How could that ever get old? Or how could that ever not be just so fresh in our mind, because it's always fresh in his? He's in heaven looking down on you and I, wanting to see us have a relationship with him. But yet sometimes we get so caught up in our own lives, our own frustrations, our own problems. You think about it like this. You think about fussing with friends at work, fussing with husband and wife, and you see these things take place. But you know, if we could put God where he belongs, I think that would straighten a lot of these things out. I believe that. I believe that if you hold him where he is supposed to be, I believe he will help us be where he wants us to be. I believe that. Why? Because that's what his word says. They glorified him not as God. They didn't hold him up where he was supposed to be. They had other ideas about self. Started thinking more about self. And neither were they thankful. If you ever lose sight of what God has done for us, it's easy to become not thankful. I preached on that not long ago. That's very important to God. That we stay humble, not prideful. We think about the lot that we have in life. You know, just being here this morning is something to be thankful for. I know a lot of people that love to be here. I know a lot of people that would love not to be in pain this morning. I know some people that would love to be in their right mind this morning, but they're not. If you're here and you're in good standing, thank God for it. We get so unthankful, we take things for granted. But you see how this declines. We don't see God. We don't hold him where he's at. We think we're deserving of the things that he's given to us, but we're not. He's just that good to us. He's been just that good to our nation. But we see the response from our nation and how our nation is turned. You know why? Because there's a lot of people being willfully ignorant. I'll just look the other way. I'll just pretend like it's not happening. It's not affecting me. It does affect me. It affects you. Sin affects every single one of us. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. You see how they're stepping away? They're no longer holding God in the esteem that he should be in. They're no longer thankful, and now they're just in their own level. You imagine just the level of this earth if that was it. And that's where those people dwell. Everything that they feel they can accomplish through whatever it is, if it's through their education, through what they perceive as their ability. This right here, the Lord gave this to me this morning. I think back to the Tower of Babel. Their imaginations were vain and nothing could stop them. Until the Lord confounded their language so they couldn't work together. What were they trying to do? Remember that? Young people probably remember that. You remember the Tower of Babel? They're trying to build a tower that would reach into heaven so they could get to God. Now, you and I today, we've seen some amazing things. We got flying cars and electric cars and all that kind of stuff. But I was thinking about this, Brother Tony. I was thinking, you know what? Had he not confounded their language on some hillside over there somewhere, there'd be a big vain tower up there trying to reach God. And you know what? He'll never do it. Never make it. But you know what? They'd still be trying to do it today. Because their forefathers did it. My granddaddy was working on this project. It goes all the way back generations. And look what we're doing. Look how tall that is. Tallest building in the world. Worthless. It'll never meet the expectation of what it had, and that was to reach God. You know, that's no different than you and I. We think about our works, but that's what's being pushed today. That's what's being pushed. When I talk about education, I'm not, again, not being negative about it, but it has its limitations. If it's not godly education, it has its limitations. A nice big tower on some hillside ain't worth a whole lot to me, Brother Nathan. But knowing that I can surpass that one day and look down past it as I wave back by and go into heaven where my Savior lives because of this book, now that means something to me. Those that are saved will look down on that. They became vain in their imaginations. It was worthless. And their foolish hearts were darkened. They put so much in what they thought they could obtain in this earth. So much what they could do on this earth. I'm telling you, that's where people's minds are at.
pay the money and get the certification, get the paper, and that's going to solve everything. It solves nothing if you don't have Jesus Christ. It solves nothing. There's still life to live. There's still His way to live. There's still His things to do. But do we glorify Him as He would have us to? Verse 22, I'll be closing here soon. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You think about the knowledge that God contains and what He has, the Creator. If you really want to know more about a topic, you need to be close to the person who invented it. You think about technology and things that we have. If you really want to know the inner workings of that vehicle, that piece of technology, you want to know how it works, you want to go to the one who built it. You want to know more about this earth and how things work? Get close to God. You think that's silly? I don't. He's the one who lighteth every man. That's the one we need to be focusing on. But I promise you, you're not getting that out in the world. You won't hear that. Won't be taught that. But how important it is. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. You know what mankind has done throughout time? They see, if they've studied, again, talking about people who were exposed to the truth and held the truth in unrighteousness, they saw God, the God, and what was expected of Him. And they said in their self, in their hearts, for whatever reason, they said, I can never obtain that. I can never uphold that. I can never do that. I need to make a God that's palatable to me. I need to make a God that I can serve that doesn't make me feel guilty. I need a God that I can serve that I will feel okay with. You know, that's why people denomination shop. They do. That's a thing. I remember one time years ago when I started at the app, years ago, I was talking to a student and started out. Yeah, I started out in a church like that, but they were too strict. So I found a church like this, and basically you could drink there and that's okay. Her words were, it's just a much more forgiving church. It's denomination shopping. You know, God's truth is God's truth. It doesn't matter what's posted on the church. His truth is the truth. His truth is in His word. And are you willing to follow that? Man has tried to make a God into a God that they can worship that makes them feel okay. You know, if you place yourself beside a wooden image or you place yourself beside these flowers and say, man, that's beautiful, that's pretty, that's awesome. That doesn't convict you. If you place yourself beside Jesus Christ, that'll convict you. Think about what He's done for you, what He's done for me, how He saved us. His blood, what He went through. Now that's conviction. That's convicting power. You have to do something with Him. You can't be willingly ignorant with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's made Himself known to you. I believe there's somebody here today that the Lord's touching your heart. Again, I was hoping to preach this or plan on preaching this several weeks ago. But the Lord made it for today for whatever reason. He holds that. If you will stand with me this morning, I'll stop here. I'll ask Sister Alice if she will to come.